Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This episode, we have true paranormal encounters, from creepy and bizarre to terrifying. Let's get into today's first story. I worked the front desk at a hotel in the Midwest when I was in my early 20s. This wasn't one of those historic haunted hotels. It was built in the early 2000s and mostly catered to business travelers and families passing through town. I worked the overnight shift, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., which worked for me as I was taking classes at the local community college during the days. If you've never worked hotel nights before, they're weird. Most of the time, it's completely dead. You spend hours folding towels, stocking coffee supplies, checking in the occasional late guest, and trying not to fall asleep. Around 3 a.m., is usually the creepiest time of the night. Everything is so quiet. You don't hear the traffic outside. The lobby is empty. It's just you, sitting under fluorescent lights listening to the air conditioning hum. Anyway, this started one night around 3:10 a.m. The front desk phone rang. The caller ID displayed room 412. I answered with my usual greeting, "Front desk, how can I help you?" There was no response. I didn't hear anyone on the other end of the line. It was just silence. "Hello, this is the front desk, how can I help you?" I repeated again. I waited for maybe 5 or 10 seconds before hanging up. A minute later, the phone rang again, room 412. Same thing, again, nobody spoke. I figured someone was messing around or had accidentally hit a button on the room phone. In case someone did need something, I called the room back. No answer. I let it ring several times and eventually hung up. The next morning, I checked the occupancy report. Room 412 had been vacant for 2 days. I thought it was strange, but not particularly alarming. Probably just a phone malfunction. End of story. Except it kept happening. It wasn't every night. Maybe once every week or two. Always sometime between 2:45 and 3:15 in the morning. Coming from room 412. When I would answer, it was always silence on the other end of the line. A few times I thought I did hear breathing, but it was so faint I couldn't tell if I was just imagining it. I mentioned it to a few of my coworkers, but after a while, I stopped talking about it because nobody seemed concerned. One of my managers just joked that room 412 must be lonely. Then came the night that changed my mind completely. I was working the night shift as usual. Around 3 a.m., the phone rang. I looked down. Room 412. I immediately rolled my eyes. At this point, I was annoyed more than anything. "Hello, front desk, how can I help you?" I answered. It was quiet. Then, what sounded like very faint breathing. I hung up. A few seconds later, the phone rang again. Room 412. This time, I was frustrated. I grabbed the master key card from behind the desk and decided I was going to go upstairs to figure out who was messing with me. Because again, this night, room 412 was supposed to be vacant. The fourth floor was completely empty. Most of the guests that night were staying on the second floor. The hallway was very quiet. I didn't hear any TVs on or anyone talking. No sound of distant voices. I walked straight to room 412. I knocked. No answer. Knocked harder, and still nothing. Then I used the master key. The lock flashed green. I opened up the door and saw a completely empty room. The bed was perfectly made. The lights were off. I did a quick check. There was nobody in the bathroom, nobody hiding behind the curtains. I was about to turn and leave when suddenly the room phone rang. I about jumped out of my skin. The loud ring of the phone pierced through the room. This is around the time I really started to get nervous. I walked over, looked at the phone, and the display on it lit up. It said the front desk was calling. I was the front desk. I was supposed to be downstairs. The phone kept ringing, and against my better judgment, I picked it up. Hello? For several seconds, there was only static, and then I heard music. Music I could recognize anywhere, soft jazz. It was the exact same jazz playlist that played through the speakers behind our front desk every night. I knew that music. I listened to it for 8 hours every shift. There was really no mistaking it. I could hear it playing somewhere on the other end of the line. Then I heard breathing, like someone was standing over the phone, listening. Again, I said, "Hello." There was no response, just the breathing and the distant jazz music. Then the line went dead. I never felt fear like that in my life. I hung up and got out of that room immediately. Practically jogged down the hallway, got to the main lobby, and it was empty. No sign of anybody, no other guests or employees, no managers. Then I noticed the phone. The receiver was hanging off the side of the front desk, off the hook, slowly swinging. I finished my shift and went home, but I didn't sleep much when I got back. For the next few months, I refused to work overnights. I switched to mornings and afternoons whenever possible. And I never got another call from room 412. And if you're wondering, I did ask to see the surveillance footage. We looked at it, and there was nothing there. From that angle, you couldn't see the phone. And it just showed me getting up and leaving. Then, 5 or 10 minutes later, coming back down, there was no rational explanation I could come up with. But the more I thought about it, the worse I felt. Finally, I had accepted another job and gave my notice at the hotel. I was spending my last week training my replacement. Another guy my age named Ryan. He seemed pretty cool. I was showing him how the phone system worked. He had worked a few of the overnight shifts, but was still learning the ropes. At one point, he turned to me and asked, "Do you know what's up with room 412? I asked him what he meant. He said, "It's just weird. I was working an overnight shift the other night and that room kept calling." He continued, "Nobody was in there when I checked." "You got the calls too," I said. And the look on his face told me everything, because it wasn't just the calls. He mentioned the breathing. We talked about it a bit and neither of us could make any sense of it. We asked around and no one had ever experienced anything with room 412. It was just us. Shortly after, I left the hotel job. I don't know whatever happened with room 412. It's really bothered me. I've looked up the history of the hotel and there's no strange deaths or unsolved murders from that hotel whatsoever. At least none that I can find. And I guess that's the part that bothers me the most. There's no closure from what happened. But the fact that someone else experienced the exact same thing as me proves it wasn't just me. I'm not losing it. There is something going on in room 412. Our next story. This happened when I was 16, and even now, almost 15 years later, I still avoid looking out windows at night. I grew up in a small town in southeast Missouri. My parents owned a house at the edge of a subdivision. Behind our backyard was a huge stretch of woods. As kids, my friends and I spent entire summers back there. We would build forts, ride bikes, play around in the creeks. Those woods never felt creepy until one particular summer. And it began with noises. Almost every night around midnight, I'd hear something moving behind my bedroom window. like a shuffling sound. Slow footsteps through the leaves. Growing up in Missouri, you assume it's a deer. We had plenty of them. But I noticed something strange. The footsteps would stop directly outside my window. And then I wouldn't hear anything. The first couple times it happened, I ignored it. Then it started happening almost every single night. In my imagination, it sounded like someone was walking up from the woods, straight up to my bedroom window, and stopping there. One night, I finally got courageous enough to look. I heard the sounds, pulled back the curtain, and I didn't see anything. Stood there staring outside for a few moments, and then I saw it. Movement. Something stepped behind a tree. I only caught a glimpse, and it was tall, much taller than a person should be. It freaked me out so much, I closed the curtain and went to bed. The next morning, I mentioned it to my dad, and he laughed, saying it was probably just a deer. Then things got stranger. About a week later, it was a Saturday afternoon, I was cutting through the woods with my friend, Bobby. We were heading toward an old creek we had visited dozens of times. About halfway there, we had found something that neither of us really recognized. It looked like a clearing. And the weird part wasn't the clearing itself, it was what was inside it. There were piles of rocks arranged in circles, tree branches stacked into strange shapes, and hanging from several limbs were strange objects tied with strings, what looked like animal bones, pieces of metal, old soda cans. There was no signs of any people actually staying there. Bobby thought it was someone's hunting camp. But there was no fire pit or trash or any footprints, just these really weird arrangements. I got a bad feeling about it all, like someone was doing something weird out here. We left pretty quickly. That night, I woke up around 2 a.m., and I don't know what woke me, I just remember suddenly opening my eyes. My room was dark, of course. It was silent. Then I noticed my curtains were subtly glowing like there was a light outside. I sat up, and the glow quickly disappeared. Then came footsteps. Sounded like something was slowly circling the outside of the house. I froze. The footsteps stopped directly beneath my window. Then I heard a tapping sound, like someone's nail tapping on my window. I couldn't move. I couldn't even convince myself to get up to look. I don't know how long this went on. It felt like hours, but it was probably only just a few minutes. But finally, the tapping stopped. I heard the footsteps walk away. The next morning, I checked outside and there were footprints beneath my window. And they were huge, much larger than my dad's boots. I told my parents about it, and they thought that it was some teenager messing around. My dad even called the sheriff's department. A deputy came out, looked around, and basically shrugged. There wasn't much they could do. A few nights passed without anything happening. Then came the night that still really haunts me. It was around 11 p.m., and my parents were asleep. I was downstairs watching TV. Our dog suddenly stood up from the floor. Every hair on her back stood up. She stared toward the sliding door leading to the backyard, just zoned in, staring. Then she began backing away, growling. I looked toward the door, and at first I didn't see anything. Then I noticed a silhouette standing at the edge of our back patio. I instantly thought it was a person, but as I looked longer, this didn't look like a human being. The arms were way too long, and it wasn't moving. I stood there staring for maybe 10 seconds. Then, it slowly started moving closer like it was trying to get a better look inside. I took off, ran upstairs, woke up my dad. By the time we came back down with flashlights, it was gone. The next day, my dad and I searched the woods, and we ended up finding that strange clearing again. Someone had been back because there were more of those odd arrangements. As a family, we came to the agreement that I wouldn't go back in those woods anymore. So I didn't. I remember hearing those footsteps maybe two or three more times in the following weeks. But then I didn't hear anything ever again. Fast forward about 6 years later, my parents sold that house. We actually knew the people that moved in. Friends of friends bought the place. The family had three sons, and as kids do, they began playing back in those woods. And sometime later, my dad was talking to the family, and they said the same thing had happened to them. Their youngest son started hearing footsteps outside his bedroom window, and all three of their sons had told their parents they had seen strange figures in the backyard and in the tree line at night. As far as I know, nobody has ever figured out what is going on in those woods, who was out there. But I am sure of one thing, whatever it was, wasn't afraid of us. It was not anything human. It seemed more intent in making sure we knew it was there. Our next story. I grew up in a house that terrified me. My parents split up when I was young, and my dad got a place about 5 minutes away. The house was built in the 1950s, and as a part of their custody agreement, I would spend some weekdays and every other weekend there. From the second I walked into that house, I felt something. I was always sensitive as a kid, but this house had a terrible energy. Even when I was completely alone, it always felt like someone was right there with me. Not in a comforting way, just this constant awareness that I wasn't the only one in the room. My dad still lives there and loves it, says he has never experienced anything there, but I know what happened to me and I know I didn't imagine it. The first time I actually saw her, I was probably 7 or 8. I woke up in the middle of the night and saw someone standing in my doorway. I'm a kid, so at first I thought it was my mom, but then I remembered I was at my dad's house, so it couldn't be my mom. This woman wasn't moving. She just stood there, watching me with her head slowly tilting back and forth like she was studying me. All I could tell was that she was older. I couldn't see her face clearly, but I could see her hair, and it was dark and long. She would never walk into the room. She never spoke to me. She would just stand there and then step back out into the hallway and disappear in the darkness. The first time it happened, I screamed and threw my blanket over my head. My dad came tearing down the hallway into my room. I told him what happened, but he did not believe me. In fact, he told me I was being a crybaby. After that, I started seeing her more often. It wasn't every time I was at my dad's, but enough that I could never fully forget about her. Sometimes she would be at the end of the hallway. Other times I would see her peeking around corners at his house. So it was just her head sticking out, her long, stringy black hair hanging. She was always just there, lurking. The worst place was the hallway outside my bedroom. There were nights I'd have to walk past it to get to the bathroom, and I could feel her before I even saw her. Always that same feeling like someone was standing right next to you. I was so scared as a kid, I would run to the bathroom, sprint every time. I continued to tell my dad about her, and he would do regular checks of the house and tell me that no one is here. I think he thought that I was making it up because he knew I didn't really like to stay at his house. I told my mom and she did believe me. She did what she could. She got me a nightlight from my dad's house, got me countless stuffed animals to squeeze onto if I was scared. This wasn't just a kid thing either. I saw her throughout my teens, a little less than when I was a kid, but I also didn't spend that much time at my dad's anymore. I was usually out with friends, but it always made me wonder why she was so zoned in on me. She seemed to leave my dad alone. She didn't bother him at all. After school, I went to college in another state, and for the first time in years, that feeling completely disappeared. I felt good. I always felt safe at my mom's house, at my dorm room. It was completely comfortable. I was older and I didn't have to stay at my dad's for quite a while. What a relief. It felt like I could finally breathe. And maybe since I wasn't there anymore, she didn't have my fear to feed on. Maybe she went away too. Wishful thinking. After college, I moved to New York City for my job, and for a while, it seemed like it was all over. Although, I admit, I would still think about her. Sometimes she'd appear in my nightmares. About a month ago, I went back home to visit, but my mom was having a renovation done on her house, so my room was filled with furniture and ladders. And my dad said, "Hey, you can stay with me." And I reluctantly said, "Okay." What was the alternative? Get a hotel? That would break his heart. I was so nervous about it, more than I expected, but I told myself, I am older now, I'm an adult, I can handle it. The first night there, nothing happened. It was so completely boring. It was great. I slept fine, better than I expected. The second night, I didn't see anything, but that feeling started creeping up on me, like when I was young. Like someone was there in the room with me, that same awareness. I could feel her watching, but I didn't see her, not once. And by the time I left, I felt relieved again. Like her, whatever she was, maybe she wasn't as powerful anymore or something. Maybe she was finally gone. I flew back to New York after the trip, excited to get back to my one-bedroom apartment. Very small, but I loved it. Then it started with small things. I noticed my belongings would be slightly out of place. My bedroom door being open when I was sure I had closed it. Again, I live alone in a one-bedroom, so there wouldn't be anyone else around. My bedroom and hallway light started flickering on and off. A lamp in my family area began flickering too. This had never happened before, but it wasn't anything major. But then that feeling came back, that exact same one I had growing up. Like I wasn't alone. I told myself I was freaking myself out, like I had stirred something up by going back home, and I just needed to decompress here. But last night I realized that wasn't it. I was getting ready for bed, standing in the bathroom, brushing my teeth. I was looking down at my phone on the counter, scrolling. When I glanced up, looking at myself in the mirror, and I saw her, standing directly behind me, mere inches from me in the mirror, closer than she had ever been before. Her hair was exactly how I remembered it, hanging down around her face, stringy. I still couldn't see her features clearly, but it was her. I knew it. I screamed, closing my eyes quickly. I turned around, opened up my eyes, and there was nothing there. I looked back at the mirror, it was just me. But I can still feel her here. She followed me thousands of miles to a completely different city, a different place. A good friend here in New York City has offered for me to stay with her. I think I'm going to take her up on that. I just don't want to be alone right now. I know this sounds insane, but has anyone experienced anything like this? How is it even possible? Why is she so attached to me? And how do I get rid of her? Our next story. When I was a kid, my grandparents owned this old farmhouse about 2 hours outside the city. It sat way out in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by cornfields and woods, with only a few neighboring farms down the road. We would pack up the car on a Friday afternoon and spend the weekend in the country, as my parents would say. During the daytime, it was great. My two sisters and four cousins and I would ride four-wheelers through the fields, explore the barns, catch frogs in the creek behind the property, and stay outside until it got dark. My grandpa had old tractors, old sheds full of tools, and one of those big red barns that looked straight out of a movie. It was idyllic, but the farmhouse itself always really scared me. It was definitely old, built sometime in the early 1900s, and it had this heavy feeling inside. Even as a little kid, I picked up on it. You'd walk down the halls and the floors would creak. And parts of the house always felt freezing cold, no matter how hot it was outside. Whenever we visited, all the kids slept upstairs. My older sisters and cousins would always take the good rooms, and I always ended up in the same bedroom, at the very end of the hall. The wallpaper was peeling, and there was this big antique mirror across from the bed. And in the corner near the window sat an old wooden rocking chair. And that's where I would see her. The first time I remember, I was 7 years old. I woke up sometime during the middle of the night because I heard a creaking sound over and over. At first, I thought it was one of my cousins. Maybe they had come in to mess with me, but when I looked toward the corner, I saw someone sitting in the rocking chair. It was an old woman. She had long, stringy gray hair hanging over part of her face and was wearing what looked like an old white nightgown. She was just sitting there slowly rocking back and forth, the chair making this horrible creaking sound. She would just watch me. I remember being so terrified. Every time I would see her, I would bury myself under the covers immediately, until I got the courage to run out of my room into my cousin's room, and I would sleep in there for the night. In the mornings, all my cousins and sisters would make fun of me. I told everyone what I saw, and they laughed so hard they could barely breathe. They would call me a baby, etc., telling me I was a scaredy cat. And also that it wasn't real, but I knew it was. But every single time I stayed in that room, it would happen. Sometimes I would wake up to the sound of the rocking chair rocking. I would feel that sense of dread and immediately look over to see her sitting there in the corner watching me. Other nights I would wake up only because I sensed her there. When I knew she was there, I tried not to make eye contact with her or breathe too loudly, because I was always afraid she would stand up and start walking toward me. Unfortunately, my parents didn't believe me either when I told them about the woman, only telling me I needed to be a big boy and sleep in there alone. One night when I was around 10, I actually got brave enough to peek out from under the covers after hearing the chair rocking for several minutes. I saw the rocking chair was moving by itself, back and forth, but the woman was gone. As I got older, we stopped visiting the farm as much. Eventually, my cousins all grew up, and no one really wanted to stay overnight there anymore except occasionally during holidays. But I thought about that woman quite often, had nightmares with her in it. Then about 15 years later, my grandpa passed away. The funeral was held in the small town near the farm, and after the service, everyone gathered back at the property for food and drinks. At one point, I stepped outside because I needed some air, and ended up talking to an older guy named Walter, who owned the farm just down the road. We started talking about the farmhouse and whether my grandma planned to stay there alone now that my grandpa was gone, and then casually said, "Well, hopefully she don't end up like the woman who used to live here." I asked him what he meant. He said, "You know about her, right?" I told him no. This man proceeds to tell me something that still makes me uneasy. Apparently, decades before my grandparents bought the farmhouse, an older woman had lived there alone after her husband died. According to Walter, people in town started noticing that she became increasingly paranoid and unstable over the years. She pretty much lost her mind, eventually stopped leaving the property altogether. One winter, nobody saw her for about a month. A neighbor finally went in to check on her and found her dead inside the house. I asked Walter, "Do you know where?" He said, "They found her upstairs in that bedroom at the end of the hall." Yes, the exact room I used to sleep in. I didn't tell Walter about what I experienced as a kid. My grandma eventually sold the property a few years later. Another family bought it. But once in a while, I still think about that room and that woman. And I have reoccurring dreams about it. I can still hear the creaking sound of that rocking chair, and when I close my eyes, I can still see her, sitting in the corner of the room staring at me. I always wondered why no one else saw her except for me, but I would imagine she is still there, terrorizing someone else. When I was in high school in Arkansas, it was basically common knowledge that our school was haunted. It was just accepted like a part of the school's identity. People joked about it constantly. Teachers would talk about it. Even the principal would casually reference weird things that happened there. The school itself was old. Parts of it dated back to the early 1900s. But before it became a high school, the original building had apparently been used as a hospital. Used as a sanitarium, many had died there during a tuberculosis outbreak before antibiotics became widely available. And when the hospital shut down decades later, parts of the original structure were converted into the school instead of being demolished. Students used to say they heard coughing in empty hallways. Teachers talked about hearing footsteps coming from empty rooms. Custodians claimed doors would unlock themselves after being checked repeatedly. I always thought it was kind of town folklore, but the place did feel strange at night. I remember one custodian named Bud used to walk around the halls muttering prayers under his breath. When we'd ask Bud what he was praying for, he would say, "This place is haunted. I need the protection. I've seen some things." Bud was one of a kind. I miss that guy. One chemistry teacher swore she heard students whispering outside her classroom one evening while grading papers, only to step into a completely empty hallway. Whatever kind of ghost you can imagine, my school had it. According to the stories, a lot of people occasionally saw a woman walking the halls late at night wearing old-fashioned clothing. People guessed she must have worked at the hospital. Most students treated it like a joke, and honestly, I did too, until my junior year. It was early October, and I had stayed late at a friend's house working on a history project. By the time I got home, I realized I'd left my English assignment sitting in my locker at school. And this particular teacher was pretty strict about late work. So around 8:30 p.m., I drove back to the school to grab it. The parking lot was mostly empty except for a few cars near the gym where volleyball practice was still happening. My school always had some kind of activity going on after hours, and usually a custodian like Bud or a teacher or another student would let students inside if they forgot something, as the doors would stay locked after a certain point. I walked up to the side entrance near the north hallway, knocked on the door's window, and I didn't see anyone. Waited a few moments and then knocked again harder. There still wasn't anyone coming. Looking in, the hallway was dark except for a few dim fluorescent lights farther down the way. I knocked again and started thinking I would just give up and take the hit on my assignment. Then, at the end of the hall, I saw someone. A woman slowly rounded the corner at the far end of the hallway. At first, I assumed she was a teacher. She was dressed oddly formal, though. A long black skirt that brushed the floor as she walked. A white buttoned-up blouse with high sleeves and a stiff collar. She wasn't modern-looking at all. I didn't recognize her, but I assumed she was a substitute or maybe someone here for administration or something. I was just relieved to see somebody. The woman walked slowly toward the door without speaking. I smiled and said through the glass, "Hi, I left an assignment in my locker. I just want to grab it." She didn't answer. She just smiled softly. Then she unlocked the door and pulled it open for me. "Thanks," I said as I stepped inside. "I'm just going to run to my locker and then I'll be gone." She still didn't say anything. She nodded once and then tilted her head slightly toward the hallway, almost like she was motioning for me to go ahead. The second I stepped inside fully, I noticed how cold the building felt. Not saying something because it was cold outside. Inside the hallway, it wasn't normal cold, like freezing, where you can nearly see your breath. I started down the hallway toward my locker, and behind me, I could hear the woman's heels clicking softly against the tile floor. It felt and sounded like she was right behind me. I tried to make casual conversation over my shoulder. I said, "I can't believe I forgot this assignment," laughing nervously. No response, just that steady clicking of her heels behind me. Most of the classrooms we passed were dark, except for occasional slivers of light beneath the doors from teachers I assumed were working late. I finally reached my locker halfway down the hall and started fumbling with the combination. My hands were shaky, and behind me, the clicking stopped. I opened up my locker, found my assignment, grabbed it quickly, and turned around to thank the woman again and take off. But the hallway was completely empty. She wouldn't have ducked into one of the classrooms nearby, because every classroom door around me was shut and dark, and I would have heard her. Her heels, she was just right behind me. I looked both directions down the hallway, and there was nobody in sight. I stood there frozen for a second, and then it started. A low howling sound echoing from the far end of the hallway. The sound kept getting louder, like a violent wind tunnel moving straight towards me. There were no windows open or doors. Within seconds, a massive gust of freezing air exploded down the hallway. My hair whipped across my face. Papers started flapping on the bulletin boards around me. But the sound was the worst part. It was a deep, whistling, howling noise that didn't sound natural. And this all happened within just a few seconds, and then, suddenly, everything instantly stopped. Complete silence again. At that point, I didn't care how crazy I looked. I practically ran the rest of the way to the exit. The side door was still unlocked, but closed. I took off towards the parking lot, got in my car. I was fully convinced that this was a supernatural experience. The next week, I was sitting in English class when our teacher started talking about the school's history. I was almost excited as the conversation drifted toward the haunting and ghost rumors. I immediately blurted out, "I met one of the ghosts the other night, a woman." The room went quiet and everyone looked at me. My teacher asked, "What did she look like?" I described the black shirt, the white blouse, the pinned up hair, her smile, and those clicking heels. My teacher had wide eyes and said, "That's exactly how the others have described her." Apparently, for a while, many have reported seeing a woman dressed exactly like the woman I saw. Teachers, students, parents, even a police officer working security during football games once reported seeing her standing near the trophy case before she disappeared around a corner. We believe that she is the ghost of a nurse that used to work at the hospital. We don't know her name, so we can never confirm who she was exactly. Why she's still here, no one knows. I haven't experienced anything like this since. I do know that that gust of air did not feel like normal wind at all. It felt charged with energy, like some kind of veil opened for a few seconds. Whatever separates our world from the other suddenly tore open right there in that hallway. A few years back, I moved into a condo in Brentwood, Los Angeles after a tough breakup. I'd been desperate to find somewhere quiet and affordable, which, if you live in LA, you know is basically impossible in that area. But at that time, I was working nearby, so really wanted to find something in that area. So when an older condo popped up for way less than everything else nearby, I jumped on it. The place itself was beautiful. Hardwood floors, it had huge windows overlooking a courtyard with palm trees and a fountain. It was an older building, but renovated enough that it still felt modern. The only strange thing was some furniture that had been left behind by the previous tenant. There was this heavy wooden dining table with four matching chairs sitting in the dining area when I first toured the condo. This was not cheap-looking furniture. It actually looked really expensive. I asked the property manager about it while signing the lease, and she shrugged and said, "The previous resident didn't have any family nearby, so anything left behind became property of the unit. You can keep it if you want. If not, we can have someone haul it away for you before you move in." At first, I decided to just leave it there. I didn't have much furniture of my own yet anyway, and the table was nice, kind of antique looking, but solid. For the first couple months, I used it every day, but slowly started decorating the condo more to my style. And eventually, the dining set started to feel out of place. So I bought a new table online and decided to sell the old one on Facebook Marketplace. I offered it back to the property manager and she said that she didn't want to deal with it. So I took matters into my own hands. I listed it and assumed it would go quick. Within maybe 10 minutes of posting it, I got a message. I'm not going to give the actual man's name, but for the story, we'll call him Harrison Baker. Harrison had no profile picture or posts. I also saw he didn't have any friends, just his name, and the message simply read, "Is this still available?" I replied yes, and a minute later he responded, "Okay, I will come by tomorrow at 5 p.m. to pick up." That was it. He didn't have any questions about dimensions. He didn't want to negotiate. Worked for me. The next day, 5 p.m. came and went. Nobody showed up. Around 7 p.m., I got another message from him. "Sorry, is this still available?" Again, I said yes. Again, he replied, "Okay, I will come by tomorrow at 5 p.m. Same exact wording. And again, he never showed. This kept happening for several days. Every message felt robotic. Always the same exact phrasing, "Is this available?" "Okay, I'll come by tomorrow at 5 p.m. And then nothing. At first, I was annoyed. What is this guy's deal? But after a while, it genuinely started creeping me out. One night, after he failed to show up again, I finally replied, "Look, if you don't want the table, that's fine, but this is getting weird." No response. Then, about 10 minutes later, another message. "Is this available?" It's Facebook Marketplace. You're bound to have some strange encounters. A couple days later, another woman bought the table and chairs with no issues. I forgot about the whole thing until about a month later. I was cleaning out one of the kitchen drawers I barely used when I noticed the drawer liner wasn't laying flat. I looked, and there was a couple pieces of paper shoved all the way in the back. I pulled them out and saw there were old papers from the previous resident, a utility bill, a couple receipts, and every single one had the same name on them: Harrison Baker. Immediately, my mind went back to those marketplace messages. And then I felt bad. I assumed Harrison must have been the previous tenant and had somehow seen his old furniture listed online. Oh, why didn't he just say that? I would have given him back the table and chairs. I sort of felt strange about the whole thing. A couple weeks later, I ran into the property manager near the mailboxes downstairs. During the conversation, I said, "I think the previous resident was trying to buy his furniture back from me." She had this weird look on her face and asked what I meant. So I explained the Facebook messages from Harrison Baker. She said quietly, "Harrison Baker is dead. He died a few months before you moved in. So that's impossible." I was completely stunned. The property manager explained that Harrison had lived alone in the condo for years. She said he was a very nice and polite man, but apparently one evening he'd fallen down the staircase inside the condo. During some kind of medical emergency, a neighbor eventually heard him calling for help and called 911, but he died in the hospital a few days later. I was speechless. She said Harrison didn't really have anyone. There wasn't family nearby, no spouse or kids, meaning there shouldn't have been anyone actively using his account. I desperately went into Facebook, trying to find our conversation, wanting to screenshot it or something, but the messages were gone. No conversation thread, no Harrison Baker profile. I searched the name over and over, and I could never find him. I only stayed in that condo for a year. I ended up moving out of state. And the rest of my time there was completely normal. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, but I do believe it was his spirit reaching out. Which one of these stories spooked you the most? Let me know in the comments. I'm working on so much stuff for you. Next episode is going to get even creepier.